Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for our message. It comes from Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We pray. Lord God, we confess to you all the times that we ask and desire and neglect your goodness, all the times that we think we know what is good, and yet it's not what you want to give us and what we need. So we do ask for your Holy Spirit to come and revive and restore and forgive us, that you might set our hearts on what is good, right, pure, and pleasing in your sight. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. After being with my brother's family from Norway last week, you maybe met them, they were here at worship last Sunday, that two of the things I was reminded of that children like to say is, I want and no. They said that I don't know how many times last week. But I tried to tell them they can't do something and they say no. For a two-year-old, they get pretty defiant when they say that. Pretty stuck in, and there's nothing you can do to make them change their mind, right? Or you try to, you're doing something and it looks fun and say, oh, I want that. Oh, you're eating something. Oh, I want to eat that. Oh, other kids playing with a toy. Oh, I want to play with that. Yeah. Oh, no, share. No, no. Right. So it seems very easy that they got it made up in their mind what's good and what's what they really need, you know, what they want, right? They got it figured out. But sometimes I wonder if we don't really grow out of this, you know, right? I think we fall into this a lot. We get frustrated with God. He tries to tell us what we need, and we say no. Or what to do, and we say no. I want it my own way. It's my body. It's my life. It's my money. It's my goals. It's my dreams. Right? Or we see the sinfulness and the pleasures of this world, and oh, the appeal, the comfort, and the easy lifestyle, not taking any risks for the Lord or living by faith, and we say, I want that. I want that quick fix that's going to make me feel good, but in the wrong run, just going to be bad for me. God tries to tell us, it's not what you need. I would suddenly say, no. It's interesting that this reading comes from right after, if you remember last week, is the story of Mary and Martha, right? It's probably a story a lot of us remember, where Jesus says there's only one thing necessary, but Martha is so distracted by all her doing in the kitchen, serving. Jesus says there's only one thing necessary, it's to be at my feet. That's Mary has chosen the good portion. So, no coincidence that right after you have these words of Jesus, then he goes into a teaching of prayer. What prayer is about, and for us to be persistent with our prayer. Because he knows what we need, and he supplies it. And he wants us to ask him for what is good. And so he gives us a couple examples in the gospel reading here. You have an example of a friend and a father, right? So in the friend's story, starting with verse 5, it says, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And saying, who's going to answer, don't bother me, the door is shut, my kids are in bed, I cannot get up and give you anything. See, what friend would do that? Probably wouldn't. But then he says something that's interesting. I tell you, he will not get up and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. So he actually says, well, it's not because he's such a loving friend, it's because of this impudence thing. How many of you know what impudence is? Okay, so it's just not me when I read that, I didn't know what that meant. So the Greek word there is actually shamelessness. That's what it means. And so we're not actually sure if he's referring to the friend or the person who's knocking on the door. We're not sure who's the impudence. But I think it works both ways when we think about it. So there's such a culture of hospitality in the ancient Near East that to refuse someone in need who's knocking at your door would bring shame on you and disgrace on the village. And so, in a sense, a friend is giving him what his friend needs because he doesn't want to bring shame on himself, and he kind of feels guilty if he would not help that person. At the same time, the friend who's knocking on the door is doing so unashamed. He's boldly coming to the door, knocking, trusting in the relationship that he has with his friend, that he is going to give him what he needs. So you see the connection there, that God's telling us that we can be unashamed and to trust in our relationship with him, to boldly come before him in prayer and expect that he is going to give us what we need. He doesn't do it because he would be ashamed if he didn't help us. He does it because he actually loves us constantly. And he knows what we need, and he wants to give it to us. And he doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get cranky. There isn't a time when we can't come to him. And so there's an example here of how much greater then is the love of God for us. How much greater does God want to give us what we need if this cranky friend who's dealing with shame would do it? Then there's an example of the Father. In verse 11, what father, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent or an egg, a scorpion? You know? Kind of love the humor of Jesus, don't you? He's like, hey son, what do you want for supper? Well, I want a fish and eggs. Okay, sounds great, yeah. Okay. Open it up and there's snakes and scorpions. And he's like, be kind of weird. Be unthinkable, right? But he's saying, these people, even though humans were sinful, were fallen, if they even want to do that for kids, how much more than is the perfect, holy, heavenly Father going to want to give us what we need? Other versions of the story actually do say good things to those who ask him in the last verse. But here, especially in Luke in verse 13, we say, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Because this literally is the best gift that God can give us, is the gift of himself. And when we get caught up with doubting that God doesn't really know what we need, or that we want to say, I don't want that, or no to his will, we get stuck in our ways, we can remember that God is a good God because he gave us what we need. While we were saying no to him, while we were saying, I want the darkness, I want the sin, he came and gave us what we need in his life, death, and resurrection on the cross, the empty tomb, Through that forgiveness, as it says in Colossians, literally all that sin, all that debt that we owed God is canceled. It's taken away because he nailed it to the cross. So it no longer separates us from him. So that we are free to come to him in prayer. We are free to start our prayer in recognition that he's our Father and we're his children. Because he's paid that debt that stood against us. It's because of that forgiveness that we have in Christ that this Holy Spirit is able to come into us. And we do have that best gift of life eternal. Literally, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And we have been united with him through his indwelling spirit in us. See, this means that also the Spirit is telling us what to pray for. So Romans 8 says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what where to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. He works on our behalf. The wordless groans, and the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Literally, he not only moves us to pray, but he gives us what to pray, and then he brings the prayers to God so that his will is done. And we get what we need and what is good for us. Warren Grierson says, if persistence finally paid off as a man beat on the door of a reluctant friend, how much more would the persistence bring blessing as we pray to a loving Heavenly Father? After all, we are the children in the house with him. We're not knocking on the door to ask God to let us in. We ask as children of the house of God, as children who are sons and daughters of the King, who are forgiven, who are purified. So our prayer isn't a negotiation process. It's not a thing that springs out simply from our need, but it's something that springs up from our relationship with the loving Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. We begin our prayer with recognition that God is our Father and that we are his beloved children. And that nothing can take that away. So what God does is he teaches us to pray for what is good. As you know, we want to teach our kids to desire what is good. And yet we're fallen and we might have bad ideas or we might fall just because we're flawed human beings. But yet God, he doesn't have any of that. He knows exactly what we need. And so he teaches us to pray and to desire those things. And so that's why he gives his disciples the Lord's Prayer. It's a model for how we should pray. And what really is good. It's not just something to say over and over, but it's really God's telling us this is what to pray for. That we recognize that we're his beloved children first and foremost, so we have access to him and forgiveness of sins. We pray that his name would be hallowed, that kept holy, that Jesus' name would be lifted up in the world. By our words and our actions, that people would start to notice one of the churches of people who love one another and care about those who are lost and hurting, and not a bunch of hypocrites or selfish. We pray that people would see the love in us and praise the name of Jesus. His reputation would be honored in the world. that his kingdom would come through his will being done in our lives. Literally, his perfect will in heaven would come to the broken world on earth through his Spirit working in us to love our neighbors, to love our brothers and sisters. That God would supply us with daily bread, with just what we need for each day. Because that's what we have today. We don't know what's happening tomorrow, and we can't change what's happened in the past. That we would have forgiveness and the grace to forgive others. That we would have protection and strength to overcome temptation and not be led into it. These are the good things that God wants to give us and does give us through his Holy Spirit working in us and among us. In Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So I challenge you, next time you think, I want, next time you want to say no to what God says, remember his goodness. Remember his steadfast love. Remember that you need him and that you have him, just as a child needs and has his father and mother to depend on. Remember that he only knows what is good for you, and yet he is faithful to always provide you with your needs of body and soul. And that in him, Christ tells us and teaches us to say no to sin and I want to his good and gracious will and his salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, our Lord.